Holy Spirit's anointing on each of us, because what we want is to hear what you have to say to each of us. And we want your Spirit's guiding. We want your anointing. So we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, look at that. He's already up. Okay. Except I always have trouble with this. What do I do? It's the sin in my life. Ah, there we are. Yep, there we go. I've got it. Good. Elijah was born around 900 BC in a time that Israel had fallen away from God. As we face the challenges of our deteriorating society, we must seek the wisdom of God. Our world is seeing a resurgence of huge idolatry, the sacrifice of millions of babies and children, the blatant destruction of genders and marriage. And Elijah is an example of a man of God living in such a society and being battered, yet still walking with God. 1 Kings 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw this, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Wow. You know, Elijah was a man of great courage who would have been scorned by so many in the church today. He executed the prophets of Baal and Astarte. This would have been very politically incorrect, to say the least. Jezebel would have supported them from the national treasury. So that's like our government using money from the treasury to support evil causes. Jezebel had heard how Elijah had defied her gods and proved the reality of his God by calling down fire from heaven and laughing at the prophets of Baal. He executed the prophets of Baal and Astarte then. You know, when people are confronted with their sin, it leads either to repentance or to anger. This time, Jezebel was angry. So angry, she vows to have Elijah killed. Elijah may have thought the miracles of reviving the widow's son, calling fire down from heaven, the drought ending, would have guaranteed an overwhelming return to God. But he was wrong. He still felt alone, so he ran 130 kilometers to Beersheba. Many people would have expected him to stand and fight, but often when we look the strongest, then we fall. Satan would have well gotten into his mind and said, "Hey, well done. That fire from heaven was all you. You're a man of great faith. You are very clever. You are very brave." So that the hand of God is blocked from his mind. It's a you thing. The warning is very clear. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall." You know, when we don't look at the hand of God in our nightly prayer exercise, Satan can use our pride to block it. I gave you those four exercises, and the first one there was to thank God. You have to look each day, each night, how has God moved in my life? And even when things have gone wrong, how has God moved? You heard Malachi 3:16, where God listens to your prayer. God has his hand on you, and you have to see it. And Satan does not want you to see his hand. The hand of God. Satan doesn't want that. He wants to block that. God has gone from your life. He wants to block it. Look for it. Fight. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed there, prayed that he might die, and said, "It's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." After he runs with his servants, he went even further because he knew that no person would understand his trial. People would say, "But you revived the boy. You stopped the drought. You stopped the rain even. You caused fire to come down from heaven." You know, the most precious thing about prayer is that we have someone who actually knows our heart. Elijah prays to die. "It's enough. I want to die." He's had enough. People were not stunningly converted with those amazing miracles. He still feels alone, and he's very, very aware of his feelings. In your batterings, people, I encourage you to kneel in the presence of God and pour out your heart. It was there in one of the songs that we will kneel. Practice it. Do it if you can. I mean, if you can't get up, well, maybe it's the last time you pray. But pray, because there's something about body, soul, and spirit. There's something about body, soul, and spirit. Your body, your actions. You see it in other people. You see stuff from their body which reflects their heart. And pour out your heart to God. At the end of last year, I had problems with Optus, with Centrelink, with my ankle, with the ASX and finances, with family health issues. And I thought they could never be resolved. But God fixed them. God fixed them. Like Elijah in the batterings, we're very aware of our failings. That's a reality that returns to us. You know, Paul sees it. Paul sees it twice there in the scriptures, or more than twice. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." This is one of the foundation members of the church who just has instructed us for so many years. He says in Romans, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" You will see your failings. You will see your failings, and that's good. Then, as he lay under a broom tree, suddenly an angel of God — I did want Liliana there to poke her, but or to poke me, but it mightn't be work. But can you imagine it? "Liliana, do you just want to just move to the end seat here? Just move." See, this is it. Liliana's the angel, okay? I'm Elijah. All you have to do is to poke me. And say, "Arise and eat. Arise." And so Elijah does, and then he falls asleep. Do it again. "Arise and eat." That's good. See, that's angel stuff, isn't it? Then as he lay asleep under a broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you can't imagine this. You can imagine it. Okay. You sleep, poke, arise and eat. What? Oh, a cake. That's fantastic. I mean, wouldn't you just say, "Wow, an angel"? I would have, but a cake, okay. And then he falls asleep again. And the angel of the Lord comes a second time and pokes him and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And eat your heart out, Powerade." I mean, look at this. So he arose and ate. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Wow, that is some cake. That is some cake. My wife makes two very scrumptious cakes, the Christmas cake, Celanese Christmas cake, and the love cake for our wedding anniversary, and they are fantastic. I don't want to share them, so I shouldn't even tell you about them, right? But this cake, 40 days and 40 nights, I mean, when the hand of God has got it, got this recipe, Yeah, you want to get it, okay? I want to get it. Imagine that. I would win the park run. Yes, okay. But there is also a spiritual need. A lot needs to happen. Elijah travels 40 days and 40 nights, 320 kilometers. A lot needs to happen with his heart and his mind. 40 days alone with God in the desert was vital for his relationship with God. You know, there will be times in your batterings when you feel like you're in the desert. You're alone, but God is there for you. And it may take 40 days and 40 nights in your battering when problems do not seem to be answered. But what matters is this alone time with God. Our Heavenly Father treasures these times. David knew it. David knew it when he walked through his batterings through the valley of the shadow of death. But he learns it's who you walk with counts, isn't it? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There it is. There it is. You can't read the writing probably, but Jezreel is right up there. He goes right down to Beersheba, which is over there. I can just get to that. Okay. And then all the way to Horeb later on. This is some guy. Satan uses busyness to distract us from relating to God. Martha had become so busy with chores that she missed the connecting time with Jesus. You know, pray for the brilliance of God to pierce your understandings of the scriptures. In Psalm 32, God says to David, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Now, the word teach is yara and can be translated, shoot with an arrow. The link? Yes, 1 Samuel 20:20, 2 Samuel 11:24, King Josiah was not taught, he was shot with an arrow. So when we pray for God to teach us, it's not some boring lesson. It's like being shot in the heart with understanding. God is not some ordinary teacher. We pray for understanding that illuminates the knowledge we have and makes links with our own personal life. When you come and sit before a sermon there, that's what you pray for, because God has a unique message from the Word of God to your life, and He knows you exactly. He knows your batterings exactly. You know, one of the differences between me as a young teacher and me as an older teacher, maths teacher, was in my older teachings, I could say, you know, here's how you factorize a quadratic equation, and this is where you'll go wrong, people. Okay, so watch that. This is where you'll go wrong. The young teacher just trying to give away his knowledge and just, you know, this, do this, do this, do this. But over and over, if you've marked 5,000 tests, you say, nah, over and over, this is the trap I put in, and I'll put it in again, and two of you will go wrong. I guarantee it. Yeah. You know, God knows where we will stumble. He knows us. The brilliance of His teaching is often only seen in retrospect. He prepares us for the traps. And sometimes He has to tell us 100 times before we get it. And there, Elijah, he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets and with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Boy, talk about a battering, because he's not making it up. They were being killed. Just finished a brilliant book called The Pastor's Wife by Sabina Wormbrand. Anybody here ever read it? A few nods, yeah. Brilliant? Brilliant, yeah. This lady, the wife of Richard Wormbrand, went through so much battering, so much torture, seen people die with a courage that was amazing. Elijah was not alone. There were at least 100 prophets saved by Obadiah from the massacre of Jezebel. Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them. God asks a question even though He knows Elijah's answer. Teachers and parents often do this. It's good for the learner to hear his own answer. Sometimes our thoughts have to come out of our mouth for us to see how stupid they are. Elijah was not alone, but he felt alone. You know, fellowship is vitally important for our growth. To Elijah, it felt very unfair that he should suffer after being so zealous for God. He felt alone, and even though other believers existed, there was no one there for him to open his heart to. He was living the terror of seeing unfaithfulness in a country that had rejected God. Today, 350 million Christians are being persecuted in the world. We prayed for the persecuted church. That's one in seven. 80% of the Christians last year who were killed for their faith were in Nigeria. We need to pray for the Christians. We live in a land that has forsaken God. At the rate of decline, we really do not know what believers in Western Australia will have to endure in the days to come. Then God said, "Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice came." Oh, again, can you imagine? This would have been horrific, the earthquake. When all the world shakes around you. The wind, when it tore through the mountains, breaking rocks. But then, and the fire, all-consuming fire. The Lord is in a still, small voice. You know, relationships grow with conversation. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." I encourage you, if you have not listened to the voice of God, start doing so. It takes time for a baby to hear, understand, and discern the voice of their parents, especially the mother. I've never been a mother. But it must be one of the huge treasures to actually carry the baby for 9 months in you and then born. And the scriptures teach that the joy of the birth, you forget the pain. The baby has come. The baby has come, and you feed the baby. That must be just so wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It takes time to discern the voice of the mum. Mostly, when I listen, I ask for his anointing to serve him, and he often answers even before I finish asking. I ask for who to pray for on my runs, and he puts names into my head and thoughts. It is a still, small voice, so you have to shut out distractions. So much of our prayers distracted by the winds, distracted by the earthquake, distracted by the fires. So I strongly encourage you to have alone time with God. I strongly recommend for you to go on a walk, go on a run, have alone time in your study, in your bedroom, in your kitchen, whatever. We need to make quality time, undistracted, alone time for conversation. And in that, make time to listen. If you're a talker, shut up and listen. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king of Syria." And he anoints Elisha as well. Elijah knew that the voice was God. He is so humbled that he hides his face. Then God asks the same question and gets the same reply. And the solution? The solution is mission. The third bedtime task I gave you was to ask God for something you can do for Him. That is mission. That is when you pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, because your heart is wholly set. Tomorrow, what can I do for you? It is the secret of marriage, those four things too. You thank your spouse. You say sorry. You say, what can I do for you tomorrow? You think about it. What can I do for her or him tomorrow? And how can they help me? God gives Elijah a mission, and the prophet is obedient. He wanted to die, but he's obedient right through. His guts are obedient. So, where are you in all of this? Last time when I preached at DCF, we looked at the six seals of Revelation 6. The white horse showed us the falling away of the church globally. The red horse took peace from the earth, and we saw Russia and China as colors of red, two nations. The third seal was the black horse, and we saw Africa comes to mind with blackness and starvation. The fourth horse was pale, and I suggested a pandemic worldwide. The fifth seal was the cry of the martyrs, and we saw 1 in 7 Christians are being persecuted, extreme persecution. The sixth seal was cosmic disasters, and we see that in the world today. And added to those, we saw prophecies where travel would increase, where knowledge we can Google anything. We saw the return of Israel to the land of Israel in the last 100 years, 1947, 1967. Huge things happening. 2017, the Jubilee after 67, where Trumpy moves his ambassador back and recognizes Jerusalem as the capital. We've seen in the scriptures prophesied flesh will melt in battle, not with a spear or a sword or a bow and arrow, flesh will melt. And on top of these, we see the rapid use of decrease in the use of cash. So the mark of the beast is there. The annual global payments reports predicts that in Australia, cash will account for only 2% of value from all point-of-sale transactions. Imagine that. You heard on the news yesterday, I think, Lebanon. They're trying to get rid of their cash quickly because it's just decreasing in value. I finished the sermon by saying what matters most is not whether a person is right or wrong, but are you ready for the coming of Jesus? Are you ready? And Jesus preached that 2,000 years ago. He said, be ready. King Ahab had married a foreign princess who had defended idolatry in Israel. Jezebel had promoted breaking the first commandment and then every other commandment. So people worshipped Baal. Baal is seen as the master or the owner. And Molech and Ashtaroth comes with several names. Worship of Baal required the sacrifice of children, often the firstborn son, to be sacrificed by fire. One of his symbolic idols was the bull. Interestingly, there's a statue of a bull on Wall Street. He was the competitor of God in both ancient and modern times. So you have this. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And how much have we seen in politics where we're after the mammon, after the money? The worshippers of Molech also mixed idolatry with the horrific sacrifice of children, and we can't go into Molech, there's huge amounts on it, so we'll leave that for another day. He was brought into Israel by the fallen King Solomon. No, when the Soviet Union was birthed in 1920, abortion was legalized. In the late 1990s, WA legalized abortion. Extreme sins bind people in guilt, so there's only two reactions: confess and be forgiven, or be defensive and angry. Added to that was the worship of this goddess Ashtaroth, or Astarte, or Venus, involving sexual fertility rites. She dwelled in taverns where substance of intoxication was served. to that music was added. So you had a time of sex, drugs and rock and roll, which came back in 1969. She has established her hold on Western society. She was the goddess of pornography and prostitution, which we've seen erupt in the world in the last 70 years. So that masculization of women, emasculization of men, the decrease in the empowering of marriage and motherhood were all parts of the worship. She had parades where the men dressed as women and the women dressed as maid. I heard today that there was a huge weather crisis in Sydney 1 week before the Mardi Gras, praying for it to happen next week as well. Gosh. We live in 2023 in a land once blessed to be following Jesus. But now, the murder of babies is protected as women's rights. Marriage, which was given to mankind to understand the relationship between God and Israel, Jesus and the church, is being desecrated. So society refuses to see the curse of sin in the land. We think of it as bad luck. I believe, this is a risky thing to say, I believe that the judgment of God has come on Turkey and Syria. They're both in the top 50 in open doors, persecuting the church. You know, when you pray about these catastrophes, pray for salvation for people. People will see those catastrophes as bad luck events, but look, God delights in judgment. And look at the judgment of God right through the Old Testament. You have to read the scriptures to see that God brings judgment. Pornography, immorality, adultery, prostitution, which damages respect for people, smashes self-esteem, opens the door to drugs and violence, have been protected. There's little corporal or capital punishment for crime, so that innocent people pay for the upkeep of criminals in jail if they're actually sent to prison. Criminals rarely reimburse victims for damage done to property or lives or police. God says this to Jeremiah to pass on to his people. And people, this is what God is saying to us in Western Australia. And I finish with this. Behold, this is his people he's talking to, the people who were loyal. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we're delivered from all these abominations. Has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it. 600 years later, Jesus says that as he turns over temples, tables in the temple. This is a den of thieves. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Can't you see it? And people, can't we see it? That in Western Australia, the church has fallen away. We are gutless. We need to stand. Are we scared of being unpopular? Jesus was unpopular. So unpopular, they crucified him. He was politically incorrect. People loved him, yes. But society, there was a society that hated him. See, repentance is more than an apology. Repentance is a 180-degree turn. It is more than words. After God responds to Elijah, the prophet is given a task. And Elijah is 100% obedient to fulfill the mission he is given. That is God's healing for the battering. When you pray that third exercise before you shut your eyes, Lord Jesus, what can I do for you tomorrow? Who am I seeing that you can open my mouth to, that I can talk, that I can just say one word? Sometimes it is just a mustard seed you drop. Maybe it's the word church. Maybe it's the word, can I pray for you? Whatever. The third time bedtime exercise I gave you is to ask God what you can do for him tomorrow. The simple exercise of being determined to serve God somehow switches our minds away from depression. How well you succeed is secondary to heart, but your actions will confirm where your heart is focused. You know, if God is our friend, we will look for ways to please him. That's what you do with friends. Elijah's prayer to die was not answered. In fact, he's one of the few people who do not die. And on the day he's caught up and he goes to heaven, I love this thought. Who knows, he may have well remembered the moment and laughed with God. I asked for prayer and to kill me, to finish me, and here I am. Elisha, there's my mantle, Buster. Do the will of God. And he's gone. We're going to sing the hymn, All to Jesus I Surrender.